Second Peter 3. Again, the teaching itself is funny. Not funny because of the content. It's funny because of the title. So we're looking at funny things we Christians say that might not be true and that might not be according to God's word. So we have looked at some, and let me say that the social media is not the believer's source of truth. I said something last week. Luke on 2 Peter 3:18, right? All right, I'm just brushing up. I said Luke, when he was going to write to Theophilus in Luke chapter 1, he said, "The things I'm writing to you are words that we have heard from those who are eyewitnesses, because them the ministers of the word." So even in our account and in our teaching, there's something that's sounding. In our teaching, in our passing on of the truth, we must be careful that we do not take the source of our truth from the world. It can bite. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, start from verse 15. "And to account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, that is, God's long suffering brings salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom that is given unto him, has written unto you, and all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which some things are hard to be understood." So Peter says there are things that are in God's word and according to God's plan, but they are hard to be understood. So sometimes when I hear people say, "Oh, that teaching was easy, was a bit hard to understand." Now, being difficult to understand is subjective. It's because of the things you have been exposed to and all of that. But Peter says, when Paul teaches, there are some things that are to be understood. He said, "Which the unlearned," look at the Bibles, "and the unstable, they wrestle against, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction, of course." Then he says, "You therefore, brethren, beloved," seeing, verse 17, "seeing that you know these things beforehand, beware so that you don't fall into the error of the wicked," or you are being led away with the error of the wicked, "fall from your own steadfastness." Can we read verse 18 together? "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So we said, grow in grace. Now, that phrase itself just looks, grow in grace. What is grace? How do I grow in grace? I know how to grow my weight, right? Do you know how to grow your weight? If you don't know, just eat anything. Anything you see, eat. Your weight will increase. Because I've been trying to grow my weight. It's a lie. There's a natural cause. You just grow your weight. The one that is hard is to shed it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Now it's difficult. To grow it is easy. You know, Pastor, you don't understand. Okay. You are right. You know how to grow your weight. You eat McDonald's, eat KFC, Chicken Republic. What other things? Chocolate. You used to buy sandwich. Let me cast you. Sandwich. What else? Princess. Ice cream. Masagbo. No, you don't know. Junks. Candy. I can't hear you. Gary. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You go away, you Gary. No, Gary can only obstruct the eyes of your understanding. You can blind it. You say, "I don't understand your ear, Ramon." I cannot see. You know? So you know how to grow away. Your eyes, you might not be able to have control over that. But Paul says grow in grace. So you begin to wonder, what does it mean to grow in grace? And the word grow, there's the word oxano in the Greek. A-U-X-A-N-O. A-U-X-A-N-O. Now, I've told you before that if you want to understand how words are used, number one, you look at the context in which it is used. That is, what words find meaning in the context of their usage. Also, words find meaning in the mouth of the author. So, if a photographer says, "I'll shoot you for free," and an arm robber says, "I'll shoot you for free," now you understand what context means. I don't even understand what I just said now. So, an arm robber says, "I'll shoot you for free."
Say, I'll just shoot you for free.
In fact, you see from the tone. I'll just shoot you for free. And the program says, you know what? There's a promo I'm going, I'll shoot you for free. You don't say, ah, you shoot me. No, you say, thank you. But one, you say, thank you. One, you say, Baba call me. Please. Edakun. Alright, so context. Words find meaning in the mouth of the author. So, there was a time I was teaching somewhere, I don't know if it's this place, but very likely yeah, I have taught you all my life. I said, if I read a piece of literature, I don't know, it was in this place. Alright, good. Like if I read a piece of literature, don't tell me the author of the poem. Don't tell me who wrote it. I'll tell you if it's Professor Wolesho Yinka. I mean, I've read hundreds, thousands of his pieces. So, I'll be able to tell you, nah, this is Professor Wolesho Yinka. Why? Because I've read it enough. Well. Why? He has the way he uses his own words. If you read literature, you know what I'm talking about. You studied English. He has his, how do you call it now? Is it feel? It's diction. Thank you. He has his diction. He has his, it's more than diction. Signature. So, I've read so much that if he says something, you know, there's a way you just know, this is this person. And that's the same thing with Peter. The word oxano was used by Peter just once after, before 2 Peter 3:18. So when he says grow in grace, he has used that word grow before that time. And he uses it in his first epistle. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he says, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may oxano, you may grow thereby or therein. That is, you grow. So what Peter is saying is that you will grow by the word. Now some people are saying, that means when you come into Christ, you are a newborn babe. No, that's not what it means. He's saying the way you are going to desire the milk of the word is the way a baby desires milk. Is it making sense? Alright, so the fight a baby gives for food is the way you must fight for the word. So if I'm going to grow from Peter's perspective, in Peter's diction, style, watermark, signature, growth will be by God's word. Is it making sense? You have seen it in 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So every time you see Peter use oxano, at the background will be God's word. So if he says grow in grace, so go back to 2 Peter 3:18. It will now make sense now. If he says grow in grace, you must be looking at where does he mention the word? He now says, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. I've told you the word and sometimes is not conjuncting, it is explaining. The word and sometimes is not putting two things together. It is explaining them. For example, I think I showed you, it was this teaching where Paul would say in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if he says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is he talking about two people or is he talking about one person? Come on. One person. So, blessed be God. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes, and is not bringing one plus one together. No, he's saying one equals to one. Is it making sense? Alright, good. So here, Peter says, grow in grace. In case you don't know, because that phrase itself is lost. Grow in grace. What is grace? He now says, that will be in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does that make sense with the oxano he used earlier in 1 Peter 2:2? Good. So growth will be to grow in God's word. It means to enlarge. Oxano. It means to increase. To increase. It says desire. That must be our attitude towards God's word. To desire. To desire. There's a desire we must have for the knowledge of God's word. I still do it. I still do have that desire. It's still so strong. Probably stronger than when I first met the Lord. I remember, was it last week or last 2 weeks? Someone was telling me that, was asking about, tongues. So I said, I'm teaching tongues again. They're teaching tongues again. That probably that's like the 10th time you are teaching it. I said, nah, I probably have taught tongues more than 100 times. And I'm serious. on tongues. I probably have taught on tongues more than 100 times. And I'm still going to do it 100 times more. Because we must maintain that red hot desire to know more. You can't say, I have known it. There's nothing like I have known it. It's I'm knowing what God is saying about this. I'm finding out more. I'm finding out more. Amen. That's our attitude towards God's word. If we remove desire, then what we are left with is the work of the flesh. The word is, has the word epipotheo. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E-O. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E-O. It means to yearn. To long after something. In fact, some writers will use that to lust. To lust after something. Meaning that what we have as lust can be channeled. That same energy can be channeled to learning God's word. And we receive more of that in the name of Jesus. It can be channeled where addictions are turned to spiritual growth in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, it's possible. We receive God's power. There's no hindrance to God's power. Amen. We receive God's power breaking barriers, breaking doors in the name of Jesus. So the word desire is our attitude towards God's word. You found that word epipotheo in Romans 1:11. I just give it to you. Romans 1:11. I think we should read through. There's something I want to point out. That's why I circled it. If I did not circle it. Romans 1:11. So we'll be fast. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Look at that. I long to see you. That's the word epipotheo. Desire. I long to see you. I long to see you. So, in discipleship, there must be that desire. You cannot change lives if you don't desire to see them. Nothing. You cannot bear fruit. You cannot yield fruit. You cannot be fruitful if there is no desire. You're teaching someone, you're going for follow up, and you're just, so yeah, today, how was your day? What's that? There must be a burning desire. You're looking through your notes. You're already looking at the examples you want to give, the illustrations you want to give, the stories you want to tell, how you want to ask questions, how you are going to, you are already looking at all of those things. That's desire. Paul says, I long to see you. This is the way of the disciple. I long to see you. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring that to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Earnestly desiring. So that's the word epipotheo. 2 Corinthians 9:14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, to the exceeding grace of God in you. Their prayer desires after you. That means in the place of prayer, they look out for you. Philippians 1:8. Epipotheo. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you in my bowels of Jesus, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. How greatly I long after you. Look at that. Paul kept telling every church, I greatly desire to see you. I want to see you. I've been looking forward to meet with you. That's the way you must approach your discipleship. That's the way you must approach God's word, firstly. And that's the way you must approach whatever God has placed in your hands. That epipotheo, that burning passion, that yearning, that desire. See, God's desire is burning greatly in me. He didn't say that like you are desiring of it. Look at Philippians 2:26. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness because he has heard that you had been sick. Look at that. Because he heard you had been sick, he longed after you. He desired. Find the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But how when Timothy came unto us, he brought good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us, desiring greatly to see us. So, as the disciple is desiring greatly to see, Paul is saying, when Timothy came and reported, he said, you guys were desiring to see us. Amen. Amen. So you must have a desire towards services. How can you not be so glad every service day? Yes, it's another time to learn God's word. Yes, it's another time for the supernatural. Yes, it's another time for God to speak to me. Another time for instructions. Another time to serve the Lord. It's another time. I am looking forward to it. That is the believer's tone in service. Amen. You see the same thing in, which one did you just read now? 1 Thessalonians 3:6, yeah? 2 Timothy 1:4. greatly desiring to see you. Be mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Hallelujah. Right? So, desire is the attitude to grow in God's word. So, daily we must steer away from error. You say, from the error of the wicked. And we must incline ourselves much more to the truth of God's word. The truth is, look at it. Look up. If we stay passive, and we say, you know what? We know the truth. There's no need to do all this learning, relearning. We will get lost in the error of the wicked. Error does not start in the day. If you see someone who backslides, it is never in a moment. It has never been in a week. It's a product of a slow faith. And oftentimes, the person knows when. Knows when it started. Because the Spirit of God will keep prompting you and say, why? Suddenly you don't like to pray again. And then, of course, the only thing is that the person can find an excuse. I still prayed yesterday. Nah, you didn't. Nah, you gave an excuse. That's not you in the name of Jesus. So we must not stay passive. We must stay desirous to learn. So what does it mean to grow in grace again? Please, remind me. To grow in the knowledge of God, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Alright, good. And part of knowledge is unlearning. Sometimes we think knowledge means you have to accumulate. Sometimes knowledge means you have to take away. Let me say it again. Sometimes we think knowledge means I have to bring something. Mm-mm. Knowledge sometimes is you take it away. How many of you heard of this famous Nigeria-India football 99-1? Let me see your hands. That when India are playing the ball turns to lion. And who will see lion and stay in the post? Not me, not you. Then when Nigeria want to score, the ball will turn to stone. Who can kick stone? Nobody. That's what they wanted to bring us 100. As it was 100, someone just said, no, it can never be 100. What's the name of the person? Eh? You, yes, you're going to grab me. Samuel Okparaji. How many are for Samuel Okparaji? She's going to grab me. How many? Only you. Samuel, I agree, Samuel Okparaji. Okay, good. You have another option. So, that one I said, no, it's not possible. My country cannot be beating 100-0. That even as the stone, he said, no, I will kick the stone. I will kick the stone. Jesus rolled the stone away. I will roll my own. And he kicked it, and then Nigeria, 99-1. If a kid is going to grow in knowledge, what will be the knowledge? Is it that he will take something or he will remove that nonsense? Eh? He will remove that 99-1 and say, nah, it never happened. When last did India even play ball? Someone has said, that's the reason why they banned India. You see nonsense. The truth is progressive. Also, falsehood is also progressive. There's a way you can build on a lie. Have you seen serious liars before? Who build on a lie? There was one boy that told me that the father is a commissioner. Father has nothing. Shishi. Father is a commissioner. So because he has said the father is a commissioner, say, commissioner child will be drinking Gary. So when he's hungry, you know, I don't take Gary. I can't remember last time I took Gary. Gary, I tasted it 14 years ago. I was just vomiting. I said, it's true, commissioner child. Me, I already know where you are going to. I said, it's true, commissioner child. That was on campus. So I take like cornflakes. Okay. Good for you. Baby Wagari come. Hands, give me 2 hands. Amen. Eh? Fivefold ministry, twice. I'll soak them. Greatly desiring that it will multiply. Amen. Then one day I just met the commissioner's child. Then there's a way someone so guided that you're an expert. With floating berries. With milk, with sugar. And Eja Didi. Oh God, you are expert. Eja Didi. Eja Didi is fried fish. Amen. So it was soaking. I thought you don't drink, guys. I'm just trying it out. So one day the father came. Unfortunately, he was not around. So I was looking for Susan. Sorry, who are you to him? I knew that was the father. I can see the resemblance. He said, I'm his father. Tell him his father is around. With joy. So I called this line. That's 200 level, 300 level. That is in physiology. I'm not mentioning. So I called this line. your papa, your father is here. You say, my father. My father is busy. Okay. It's time to throw this thing down. Your dad is here. Your dad. So he said, I'll go and meet him. I said, no, I'll take it to him. I said, this is your father. I said, daddy, your car's on, sir. Yes, sir. He said, ah, I'm more giddy. When you know what you did, I'm married. So my God, he was crying. Why would you lie? Lie is progressive. You have to find things to back it up. Alright? So, sometimes what you call knowledge is not an accumulation of information. Sometimes it's an unlearning. So knowledge is not oftentimes a plus. Sometimes it's a minus. You minus something. You remove something. And so there are some unlearnings we need to do. There are things that we Christians say. I say we. I don't say it. Probably I've said it before. But I say we Christians. God, can I just say Christians? We are all Christians. Amen. There are things that we Christians say that we need to fact check. When I say fact check, I mean scripture check. Because there are belief systems that breeds unbelievers. There are people who, because of what they've been taught in the church, they are now unbelievers. I met someone some years ago who said, but you said, you people always say, that's what we said, it, that God, when you give to God, God gives back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That is that not what you people say? That he has tried it, that he has tried it and tried and tried it, does not work. That he cannot tell me that this Bible is correct. And I said, but God never said that. Yes, in the Bible. So is rape. Everybody look at me. Is rape not in the Bible? Huh? Oh, you skip that place in your Bible reading. Is slavery not in the Bible? Ah. You forgot it? It is. Did David not cut Goliath's head? Talk now. So there are things that are in the Bible and it's not biblical. The fact that is in the Bible does not make it biblical. Mm-mm. Biblical will be a result of reading everything through. That means you will listen to Moses and you listen to Jesus. You will listen to Jesus and you listen to Paul. When I read everything true and true, I will get to where I will now say this is biblical. Biblical is not a verse. Biblical is Genesis to Revelation. So I cannot say, as the Bible says, there's nothing like the Bible says and you are quoting one verse. No. One verse is explained in the thousands of verses surrounding it. Before it and after it. So, you cannot just say, the Bible says. The Bible says. And you're just shouting. Kinikon, I will give your enemies to your hands. And you are aware. The wealth of the wicked shall be given to the righteous. So all your own life, you are waiting for the wealth of the wicked only. People will walk all their lives, have board meetings, raise companies from the ground, zero, up. Then you are somewhere speaking in tongues. What are you waiting for? The wealth of the wicked. And there are people who still believe that today, that one day there will be an accident and an angel will rescue money. And unfortunately, the money will land in your wardrobe. Your surname is Ganayo. You are a lazy believer. That's not biblical. And so, there are funny things we Christians say that we will need to look at and address again. Is that making sense? So that we don't breed unbelievers. Now, the Bible say, when you give, God will give back to you in good measure. Shaking together. Press down. You shake it together again. Press down. You shake it together again. You press down. Then somehow to run over because God likes to waste things. Is that what the Bible teaches? Now Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. That's what we're looking at. Because this kind of statement have raised unbelievers who now say they don't believe in the Bible anymore. Why? He said it doesn't work. Why would something work when it was never promised? Luke 6. Are you there? This one, we have looked at this thing over and over again, almost every year. Okay, I don't think last year I had time to look at it, so last 2 years, we are busy. Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For what, with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured with you again. Now, what did you not ask is that, what should I give? That's the question to ask. Give what? So again, I've told you before, every statement finds its context in the story. It finds the context in what is written. Alright, so let's read from where it all started. Verse 20. He fell off his eyes and his disciples said, blessed be you poor. To his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are those that weep now, for they shall laugh. Now, so let's even look at this one, self. Is it everybody that weep now that will laugh last? No. So we must find the context of what is he saying. Blessed are those that hunger now, for they shall be filled. You're not waiting. Say, I've been hungry. Last 3 years I was hungry. Last 4 years I was hungry. Last 5 years I was hungry. When will I be filled? Now, you must look at when is he talking about? Who is the hungry? Who is the one who is weeping? Who is the sorrowful? Amen. So, we must not just cherry pick from the Bible. Mm-mm. We must read through, must be students of God's word. Not just people that want to get money from him. That's a thief. Alright, let's go. Verse 22. Blessed are you men when men hate you. When they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Can you see? So everything he's talking about is in salvation, as it were. For those who are hungry, those who are weeping, and those who are thirsty for salvation. Right? So, that's the Sermon on the Mount. So they are the hungry in spirit. They are those who test after righteousness. Again, that is the context. Those are the people that will not laugh. When will they laugh? Is it because they will have money? No. Because they will be saved. If that is not enough for you, I don't know, you don't have the Spirit of God. Something like that. Alright. Rejoice, verse 23, in the day, and live for joy. For behold, the reward is great in heaven. Can you see that? In heaven. There's no CBN in heaven. Amen. There's no Access Bank in heaven. Amen. Amen. Okay, say your reward is in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers also did on the prophets. And the prophet did not receive money. For woe unto you that are rich. For you have received your consolation. Again, he's not saying that everybody that is rich. Else, why are you not working? Are you not working because of money? Huh? You're working because of passion. Let me see your hands. If you're working because of passion. You're so passionate about your company. Okay, let me see how you're working because of money. My own hands have been up since. It's not like it's because of money, but then you're working because of money. Why else will you work? It's because of money. I say, doctors, no, we want to save lives. We are working because of passion. Why? So why do you go on strike? Are you striking? You are passion hungry. Your money thirsty. Alright? So who are the rich? Those who put their trust in riches instead of the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. For you have received your consolation. That means you have been saved by your money, in quotes. Want you that are full, for you shall hunger. Want you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Want you when all men speak well of you. So did your fathers, did the first prophet. So you are seeing that the context is about the kingdom of God. It's about trusting in earthly riches, trusting in earthly complaint, rather than the kingdom of God. That's the context. Verse 27. Now this is where it starts from. But I say unto you, which you hear, love your enemies, do good to them that will hate you, bless them that curse you. Now put that. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, and unto the one that smites you on one cheek, offer the other one, and him that takes away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Mean that if they take one thing from you, don't stop them from taking the other one. How about that? Give unto every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again for it. You know, say the Bible say, he that takes away your goods, ask them not for it. I will not ask you for the money you owe me. You're asking your money back. Okay. So that means you just repeat the part of the Bible you like. Okay. Let's go. So we are reading context of Luke 6:38. Give unto every man that asks of you, and from him that takes away your goods, verse 30. Ask them not again. Verse 31. And as you would like men to do unto you, that's the way you must do to them. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, why should you be thanked? Sinners also love those who love them. If you love those that love you, there is nothing there. Sinners agape. That's the word, though, in case you think agape is love of God. Sinners agape those who agape them. Verse 33. And if you do good to them that are good to you, then what thank do you have? Sinners do the same. And if you lend to them, whom will you hope to receive? What thank do you have? Sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good to them and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Now, your reward shall be great. What is your reward? You are the children of the highest, because that is what he does. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Interesting. Be merciful as your father is merciful. So what is Jesus teaching? He's teaching that instead of acting like the world, sometimes you must act, not sometimes, that instead of acting like the world, you act against. You act like your father. Say that God gives to those who are unthankful. He gives to those who are evil. He doesn't repay evil with evil. He is kind towards them. That's what he's saying about God. He said, so you be merciful as your father in heaven is merciful. So what's he teaching? He's teaching not following the world pattern, but following Christ, right? Being Christ-like. Go on. Verse 36 say, be merciful as your father in mercy. As your father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and shall be given unto you. Good measure. So read verse 37 again, together. Condemn not, and shall not be condemned. Forgive, and shall forgive. So what will you give, and it will be given unto you? Read verse 37 again. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and shall not be condemned. Forgive and shall be given. Forgiven. So what will I give and that will be given unto me? Eh? I will not judge. Right? So if I don't judge, I will not be judged. If I don't condemn, I will not be condemned. If I forgive, I'll be forgiven. It says, so if I give these things, it shall be given unto me. In good measure. So what is he saying? If you're merciful, you will receive mercy. If you forgive, you receive forgiveness too. Don't forget, who did he say we give you these things back? God or man? Eh? Look at it. Verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. Read it now. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. Running over. Sharp. So, meaning that if you judge, who will judge you back? Thank you. If you forgive, who will forgive you? What if you don't forgive? Eh? Why? Because that is the way of man. He already told you, sinners lend to sinners to receive much again. Already told you, if you give, sinners also, there's also, they love those that love them back. See, making sense? So, if whatever you give the world, they will give to you. So, because you know that that's the way of the world, don't judge, don't condemn, and forgive. Be merciful, because that's what you receive together. See, making sense? If you read the entire Luke 6, there was nothing about money. Including when he said, woe to you, the rich. There was nothing about really acquiring money. It was more about not even trusting the riches. Or whatever suits the agenda. Amen. So this is not even a scripture you should be used for offering at all. Now there are hundreds of scriptures that teaches us to give. Now, someone say, hey, Opeo, that means we should not be giving. Then, come on. The scriptures teach us to give. No, it teaches us to give to those who labor over us in word and doctrine, 1 Timothy 5:17. Galatians 6:6, it teaches us to give. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, it teaches us to give. If our Paul made an example from 2 Corinthians 8, the church in Macedonia, would, even though they were poor, they gave. So, is Jesus telling you not to give? No. He's telling you, this one is not about giving at all. This one is about conduct. Imagine someone goes all their life, and this is the scripture they hang on to for prosperity. So, when it does not work, they now say, God is fake. Meanwhile, you are building castles in the air. The scriptures you are banking on and you are standing on, you know, I'm standing on the promise of God. It was never a promise. Amen. Say, but, pastor, it's a lie. I'm not saying you're lying, yo, pastor. I'm not saying you're lying about this. So, but I was in one church like that. And they called people, they said they should give. They said they should give $1,000. 1,000. You know, when an Igbo man said 1,000, it's a serious business. They said they should give $1,000. And the next week, pastor, come and see testimony. Everybody gave testimony. Everybody that gave them $1,000. Say, no, it's only two people out of 100. Interesting. So why did the remaining 90s not give testimony? Maybe their faith has not reached maturity. It's the ROI now. Their faith has not reached maturity. Let me say something. If you gather 10 people, 2 will give testimony every time. You don't believe me. If you gather 100 people and you pray for them, somehow, 5 will give testimony. And testimony sometimes, it's not because they gave.
Let me just begin. Let's be sincere. Testimony is because their uncle works in that company. But, you know, when people give testimony, they don't tell you the background. Just say, I got the work. I did not do interview. I did not apply. They just called me and said I should be coming. And you went. A company that you not apply. You not do interview. They just sent you email and you went there. You not tell us the fact that your uncle has been working this thing for 2 years. Oh, that's not part of what God did. You should not be ashamed. You see people, we've been looking for baby for 8 years. And God has done it now. We have a bouncing, we have twins. Tell us you did IVF. Tell us. Put in testimony. Now, IVF does not cancel the fact that God has done it. Amen. Tell us you went to the beginning. You spent money. Don't let someone at the back be saying, and pastor pray for us together. Now, God is choosing. God is biased. He has said it. I will have mercy on. And the one that you don't have mercy on. No, these are funny things we say. Amen. Funny things. Say it. So myself and my husband decided to adopt. And so the glory of God, we were able to adopt a good child. See what? That's not glory of God. He might be new, me show you. Well, show you. He might be new, show you when we go up. My boy, that's when we go up. Tell you did it. But people hide that from testimony. Then someone at the back is saying, I need to leave this church. God is not answering my own prayer. Maybe my own blessing is not here. Your blessing is here. You just not do IVF. Your blessing is here. Your uncle is just, yes, your uncle does not have leg. Let's be like that. Amen. Or just deceiving you. Show me CV, send the CV now. I will ensure, I promise you. Share from the verse you have. Aha. So again, we need to unlearn, relearn. Okay, but God loves a cheerful giver. No. I've explained that before. For God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves a cheerful giver. Meaning that a cheerful giver is giving because of God. He didn't say God loves a cheerful giver. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says that God loves some people separate from some people. Again, Jesus has already made it clear to you that he makes his rain pour on both the unjust and the just. His sun shines on both the wicked and the evil and the good. Amen. God does not segregate. His love is towards all. For God so loved the givers. Eh? For God so loved those who pay tithes. What does he love? The world. Aha, good. So God's love is not conditional. It's not sinner's love. You know, it's a sinner's love, sinners. There's nothing there. God is the one that loves everybody. So because of that, you two don't do like your father. Don't judge. Love everyone. Is it making sense? So when you say, for God loves a cheerful giver, you need to rephrase it. He's saying a cheerful giver gives because of his love for God. Isn't it like God loves a cheerful giver? He's a cheerful giver that gives for God. Is it making sense? He's not giving because of himself. He's not giving to acquire wealth. He gives because of God. So for God, loves a cheerful giver. Does it make sense? We've taught this before. What teaching was that? I taught it in the first square. Was it? I taught that first square. First square, yeah. What year? 2019? 18? Huh? 18.
Alright.
So you can go listen to it. What's the title? Scriptural giving. Are you sure we title is scriptural giving? Okay, find it out. Just press giving. Amen. So the character of God must not be painted wrongly. He causes his rain to pour on everybody. His sun to shine on everybody. God loves everyone in the world, whether they give or not. So there are funny things we Christians say, and we need to look at them again. Some out of ignorance, but ignorance is not an excuse. You cannot say because I'm ignorant that electric wire can shock. So it will not shock me. See, I don't know that it can shock now. And I'm just ignorant. And I touched it. So the way I would say, leave this one, he does not know. Nah. Ignorance is never an excuse. It does not absorb anybody from the consequence of the lack of knowledge. And so, we must not allow ignorance. Don't forget where we started from. 2 Peter 3:18. You must grow in knowledge. So I'm ready to grow in knowledge. Alright, so, let's look at funny things we Christians say. We have looked at some over the last few weeks. We have looked at why should we honor pastors? Are they not humans like us? You know, very funny things. Is a pastor not human? I don't follow any pastor. I follow the Bible. So who wrote the Bible? Spirit. Human being. In case you miss it. John. Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. You have not even done that. John. Paul. Paul that killed people. Those are people that wrote the Bible. God will always use man. The funny thing is just that because we cannot determine the man he uses, we are angry. Unfortunately, God is not angry at the person you are angry with. Amen. So God can choose to use someone. You have to, your own is to receive. You shut your trap and you write your Bible, your notes. Amen. You say, Pastor, shut your trap. Is that the Bible? I don't know. Funny things we Christians say. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, I said it. You said it today. Say, see, don't worry. Everything happens for a reason. The Bible says everything happens for a reason. Even Esau. Book of Abraham. Chapter 190:10. The Bible never said everything happens for a reason. Just like the Bible never said everyone helps those who help themselves. It's nowhere in the Bible, not even after the concordance. There's nowhere in the Bible that says everyone helps those who help themselves. And that's not what I'm trying to say. You have to make effort. Nah. Maybe we look at that one later. But I'm not even inspired to even say that. It is common sense. Common sense tells you that if everyone has helped me, I don't need to help myself again. Right? Except it's another help, and everyone should help me again. And that's not where you're coming from, sir. I really get that you have to make effort before everyone helps you. But really, what effort did you make before Jesus died for you? So let's look at this one, that everything happens for a reason. This one is even more, is even better. Because I know that some of you here, and you have been in Glorious House Church, but you still said it last week. Everything happens for a reason. See, God knows about it all. Amen. Let me interpret what you're saying. Slang now. Say that a leaf cannot fall from the tree that God will not know. Ah. The Spirit of God is not counting leaves. I beg. I know it's idiomatic and all of that, but don't let us be idiots. God does not know about everything. Say, no, God has his hand in everything that so nothing can happen except God allows or God wants it. Far. You are already on the way to be a false prophet. You are Dagada. You will soon arrive. There are things that happen and God does not know about it. There are things that happen and God does not even want it. For example, for starters, you know, 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 4, it says you pray for authorities, for those who are in power, for kings and for men. God will have all men to be saved, right? And to come to the knowledge of Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 4. He said, God will have all men to be saved. Say all men. How many people does God want to be saved? The church? Everybody. The long suffering of God brings salvation. You know, that's why I'm still waiting. So that those who are enemies of the cross can still come into the kingdom of light. Alright? God wants every man saved. Yet, every man is not saved. It shows you that not every will of God comes to pass. I'll teach you something. Have you ever seen a naming ceremony where they were praying for the child and said, you will grow up, you will be an armed robber? And the pastor said, I pray for you. I pray for you. Your mates are carrying AK-47, you will carry AK-97. No. Every naming ceremony, you be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Which one again? Accountant is a liar. They say you can work anywhere. Say you will study a course where you can work anywhere. I've told you about your course. If they say you can work anywhere, it is where. He said, once they start telling you, you can work anywhere. Don't let anybody bully you. Don't let anybody tell you that you are studying nonsense. Oh God, maybe we are studying nonsense. Maybe we are studying nonsense. That means. See, in this course, some people come to you, they will tell you they are superior. Nobody's superior to you. You can work anywhere. Why can we work anywhere? Why can we work anywhere? Much worry. You can always work in the bank. Alright, so again, God does not have his fingerprints over everything. Let's be factual. So there's nothing like God only allows things or causes it. No. That's not in the scripture. That's not what the scripture teaches us. Sometimes bad things just happen. Really. Let me say it again. Sometimes bad things just happen. I remember we had the teaching 2017. What is 2017? What we look at? Why do bad things happen to good people? Where we look at ageless God unveiled. Yeah. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes it just happens. Say why? Is it the devil? The devil has, he didn't even reach your side. Not everything, not every sickness is demonic. Sometimes we make wrong choices too. I'm not saying sinful choices, I'm saying dumb choices. Amen. For example, when I was in school, I can eat anywhere. I was not cooking. Anyways, if I see any new outlet, I don't go to restaurant too. I believe restaurant food is not sweet. That's me. I believe that for your food to be sweet, your shop is sparkle. And we have to wash our hands. The moment you are turning tap to wash hands, I know your swallow is not sweet. You must give me bowl and water. Now I am trusting your service. So I can eat anywhere. Now, by God's grace, none of those food affected me. But there were people who, they would get to the hospital and they started rolling. In fact, there was one of my roommates one night, like, we had to carry, Igbo. That's his name. That's his son name, Igbo Dudu. That's his son name. I'm serious. You know him now. You know him. Right. So, we had to rush him to the A&E. Why? And I was one that took him to the where we ate. So, I said, what did he eat? Ha. No, I don't talk. What did he eat? This is food poisoning. This is food poisoning. I was looking at myself. Nothing. I even wanted to eat more. My plan was to go the next day. Yeah, but I didn't go. No. So, when things like that happen, you cannot say the devil. We just made a dumb choice of eating somewhere that was unhygienic. Don't lie against the devil in that instance. No, but it's the devil that led them there. No, I walked there. I was even praying in tongues as I was going there. You know, it's the devil that made your step. The devil made your step go there. Shop, only shop. You know, the person also prayed before opening shop. Calm down. That was not the devil. That just happens. Is it making sense? Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes it's because of our choices. Dumb choices, really. Oh, why have I not been able to get work? God is the one in clinical. Sometimes you should look at the course you went to study. I'm not going to mention someone's name in this church. A fellow gunner like me. Amen. I'm going to use name to, how do you ever say it? To cover a secret. My phone called Bola Shiri. My fellow gunner, you don't start to say who is the person. Holy Spirit reveal. This boy you're using your gift of word of knowledge for. Now, there are courses that you study that you, when you come out, you say, when is bank taking the next? You know that there's nowhere to work. Let's be factual. There are courses in this country. You study pasture. Not pastoring. Pasture and range management. You study range management. Where cow eats. How to manage where cow eats. You now say you don't find job. There is no company that is studying. That one. I don't understand. To get a job with that, you probably have to fall down on something else. Don't say it's God. No, you made a dumb choice. Amen. See, it's God. But just cover that. The moment you learned a skill or two, you already had a job. So what? Who did that one? God. No, God did not have anything to do with either you are learning skill or you study that course. You chose to study pastor. Amen. People were there. They were doing a law. I said, well, pastor, I now did law now. Pastor, I did law. I did. I heard your message. I did law, and I'm like lying. But he did law. Inquirer's statement. Nobody trusts your knowledge of law. Now, I'm not against any institution. I just mentioned you did law in Futo. I know Futo don't study. They don't use law. But schools that where cow can enter your school and all that. So, as you are presenting your certificate and say, I studied law. The chambers, they are looking one eye to look at it. You cannot know it. Is it making sense what I'm saying? So sometimes, things that happen are a accumulation of different factors and God was not involved. I know a lot of people go to Job. We are getting there. Are you learning something? Come on, are you learning something? And you know, some people will mock people for it. They think it's when you make sinful decisions. Maybe there was a sin in your life. Then the person is, it's because of that sin. God is punishing me because of this sin. There was a time I mocked a man of God. There was a time that there was a crusade. I now off the gen. Now I'm saying things that I've done. Amen. Amen. When I was in Virginia, one teacher beat me. And I went to the staff quarters in the midnight. I wanted to set his house on fire. I was wicked. God just decided that he would use me. The way I think some things, eh? And I put fire on his net and I ran back to the staff. If you know what Bernard's been doing, so pull that thing after night out. That's some money east. I went to the staff school, to his child's class, took the food, ate the food, told him I'm from GSS 2C, and I was in GSS 1F. And I said GSS 2C because someone offended me in GSS 2C. So look at, that's just wicked. So, imagine, someone saw me in Badon, I was with a disciple, and he said, Eshu. Now he called me, he said, devil. So disciple was looking and said, pastor. I said, leave him, he knows what he's saying. That was many years after, more than 10 years. I said, leave him. He has accurate knowledge of what he's saying. I did things. So imagine now doing all those things and say, there was a crusade like that in the Ikerun, eye of Jen. Why? They don't do anything to me. I just wanted to see what will happen. So imagine now, I grow up and saying that, oh, God is now punishing me because of what I've done. God doesn't do that. If it's that, imagine what Paul will face. So some decisions happen not because we are sinful. Mm-mm. What sin did Stephen commit for them to stone him? The sin of righteousness. That was not a sin. So imagine, so you see them stoning Stephen, say, kilo she, oh no, there must be a sin behind his life. That's a nonsense doctrine. Funny things we Christians say, when people go through hard circumstances or they are sick, we think it's because of one sin. Yeah, who sinned? You know, it's in the Bible. John chapter 9. Jesus was going, and the disciples, they saw a man who was blind from his mother's womb, and they said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Funny things we Christians say. Who sinned? Who sinned? Who told you it is sin? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents. Why are you a sin detector? Neither this man sin nor his parents. Yeah, how is he not born blind? So, should you be asking why he's born blind? Or can he be healed? Said, but the work of God must be made manifest while it is day. I must work the works of the Father. And he healed him. What is the work of the Father? That he made him blind or that he healed him? So sin is not always the cause. Sometimes we even mock people. I know it's not here. The reason why I see all these people that do Christian. God knows how many abortions she has done like that. For her not to be able to give birth. No. Stop thinking like an idiot. I beg you by the mercies of God. Don't be an idiot. Sin is not always the cause of some things. Paul was imprisoned. Okay, he says he sinned. Okay, fine. How about Stephen? How about Jesus? So sickness is not God's punishment. That's a dumb thing some smart Christians believe. Now, what about Job? Pastor, you say things happen without God's approval. Oh, about Job. Just, I don't want to hear anything. I don't know someone like that. I was teaching. I don't want to hear anything. Answer me yes or no. Have you heard people like that on our church? So as I try to explain, say, Olga, she has years of understanding. I said, no. Actually, whenever the word believe is used, it's this. Did he do it or not? Say, actually, the way we explain the Bible, can be frustrating. I did it back for him too. So he was asking questions, yes or no? Job. Why did Job lose everything? I say, give me now. Oh, yeah, Pastor Julia now. I've done it before. There's no short answer to any Bible question. Short answers predispose you to error. Things must be well explained. I know we have treated Job probably more than 5 times. But I'm just going to go around it again. Number one, the book of Job is one of the oldest materials in the Bible. Funny enough, probably we think that the Bible, the Old Testament, as we call it, is arranged in chronological order. No. Job is way before David. Way before, because David quoted Job. So there's no way he quotes Job without Job already being in writing. Is it making sense? Eh? Isaiah quoted Job. All right, good. Go to Job chapter 1. Funny things we Christians say. So, Job was an upright man, one that feared the Lord and ran away from evil. Job 1:1. So we can conclude that sin is not always what brings sickness. Hmm? So that's not where I'm going to. That part, where God and Satan are the bet. That never happened. I think we have thought that before. That never happened. That's what we've done. You say, no matter where the kind church in the lane, or Job will have him more. Verse 2, and there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in the houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and they have cursed God in their hearts. This Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Now, I've taught you before, the sons of God came, and Satan was among them. Someone said, that means Satan is also a son of God. Really, the word God there is Elohim, and Elohim in the Old Testament was used not just for Yahweh. It was used for man, it was used for angels, it was used for the demons. You observe that throughout Moses. Moses never called the devil, devil. Moses never called Satan, Satan. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, Moses never mentioned Satan once. So he kept using different things. And one of those words was Elohim. And there's no way you translate Elohim. Elohim means a supernatural being. I think we taught that recently. What teaching was that? Sorry. Ebenezer. Eh? Let there be light. Thank you. Let there be light. So, when you hear sons of God, again, English is what made it look like it is God. Or it is Jesus. No. Elohim are supernatural beings. Any supernatural being is called Elohim. The Hebrew, they used it for both man. They used it for angels. They used it for Yahweh. In fact, at the point they used it for, it was not Pharaoh. So again, Elohim is not God. I know you say, Yahweh, Elohim. Elohim is God. He's used for God. But it was not only God that was called Elohim. Is it making sense? So when he said the sons of God came, and Satan also came, he was saying supernatural beings. Alright? And let's go ahead. Don't forget who is writing. Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, how has thou not considered my servant Job? And this is a good drama, yeah? There is not like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, you think Job feared God for nothing? Have you not made an edge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? And you have blessed the work of his hand and his substance you increased in the land. Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. So, the idea is that God is the one that touched things and then things become rough. Something like that, Abby. And he will curse you to your face. So, it's like God and Satan had bet, sha? That if you remove your hand from his life, Job will curse you. And Satan put his own agents there, the wife. So, they are cursing now, fast, be fast. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. And only upon yourself you put forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And people see at this drama. Satan will come to God and say, oh yeah, come in. And say, Baba, 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 Holy One, Adonai. Oh yeah, kiki, papa, papa, pa. Mufe to walk on Job. And I say, Ma for walk on. He mean Yahweh. Come on. You know, everything that you, I told you that lies have levels. You keep graduating. That's why, because you think that God has a throne. And you think that God is contained somewhere. And heaven has chair, and then the sons of God came into heaven. Which is already like earth, since they are already meeting. And then God said, we are getting somewhere. Awesome, close. God said, I have removed my hands. Everything that he has is yours. Satan said, thank you, thumbs up. And so, Job started losing everything. But who gave this story?
Job.
Job was the one that wrote to us and said, I've always thought that my children are doing something against God, and so I will sacrifice so that whatever they are doing, it does not affect our family. And then he wrote the drama and said, this is what happened. Maybe God said, I will curse him, so I will not curse him. Now we're sure that I don't curse him. But like every false teacher, we must not read just the beginning of the story. We must read through the pages and see the writer's conclusion. Is it making sense? Let me give you an example. Jonah started out by saying, I will run away to Tarshish because God will always forgive these guys. But what was Jonah's conclusion after? God, you are merciful, right? And long-suffering. Your mercy endures forever. I will sing unto you a new song. So, you must look at the beginning of the story and at the end. Is it making sense? Job tells us in the beginning, I am a faithful man. I run away from evil. And sometimes I think my children do things that they might offend God, so I offer sacrifices. Because one day, Satan came in presence of the Lord, and he said he wants to touch me. And he said, I will curse God, but I will not curse God. And the remaining of the story was about his friends. How his friends stood by him. Some were foolish, some were wise. But look at Job's final statement. In Job chapter 42, the last chapter. Then Job answered unto the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from you. Who is it that asks counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered things that I did not understand. I like that part. I have uttered things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me which I did not know anything about. Here I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you, and I will declare unto you. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Now the word I have heard you by the hearing of the ear is the same word I have heard you by rumors. The hearing of the ear is the way you pick things in the market. The background is, you know, when you go to the market and then you are hearing gist as you are pricing something in the market. You say, dollar is the one, three. Don't want to say dollar is the 3.5. This country, 3.5 more alano. So you pick that in the market. If you know how much bag of rice is now, I bought it 2 million. As I go in the market, market is a very interesting place. Say, she market on Shekoko now. Go Shekoko now. You know, Ibadan is a dirty place. Ibadan is mid. And I want to say, hearing of the year in the market. The person has never been to those places. No. The person has never bought dollar before. That has never used dollar before. He's saying dollar is now. Be fine. So when you hear things like that by rumors, the word is by the hearing of the ear. Is it making sense? Alright. So Job says, I have heard you the way market women gossip, but now my eyes see you. Verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Amen. So what was Job's conclusion? He said, I said things I did not know anything about. Meanwhile, you have acted drama already. You have acted Satan going to the presence of God. Job again and said, sorry, those of you that have been reading from chapter 1 to 41. There are some things I said in these chapters. Lamba. Amen. I said things that I did not know anything about. I said things that were too wonderful for me. I have heard of you by rumors. How that you take your hands off things and then they crush down. I've heard of you by rumors. Pay for me as a close. How that you can allow the devil to hurt me. That was why I was sacrificing. I've heard of you by rumors. That if my children say anything, you can bring down this family. I've heard of you by rumors. That if I sin small sin, you can cancel my marriage. I've heard of you by rumors. That if I miss Ria's house, you can put a sickness in my life. I've heard of you by hearing of the ear that sometimes you can use cancer to punish people. But I've said things I didn't know anything about. Now my eyes see you. That's why in James chapter 1, when James was going to caution the church, he said, no evil comes from God. Let no man think that God can be tempted. Because he tempts no man. Neither can he be tempted. James 1:13.
For every temptation comes from the heart of man. I say, but what comes from God? Every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Guess who he mentioned? He now mentioned Job in chapter 4. Don't let a man tell you that God did what God did not do. There is no place in the scriptures that says that God gives the devil permission over people's lives. And Job also agrees. He said, I said things I know nothing about. Now I repent. My hands are up. And you see, that's the danger of not reading the scriptures totally. I've told you the context of any word is found in that book. It's not few chapters before it, few chapters after it. You must read the entire book. Because the writer expects you to read everything. He wrote this, the same thing that wrote everything. He wrote chapter 1 to 41. And at the end of everything, he says, I said things I did not know anything about. I said things I don't know anything about. And that's the same way some people cherry pick in the scriptures. Just cherry pick a place. And say, does the Bible not say that? No, don't tell me anything. Does the Bible not say that? A knife for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. But the Bible also says be merciful. Even to those who are not merciful to you. You see that the context of every book is in reading everything. Is it making sense? So the moment you just speak Job's drama, he's sacrificing. Look at his words. And I love the way Brother Hagin said it. He said, Job's words came to pass. That one day, because of my children, something will just happen, everything will crash down. Words are powerful. And Job did not use his own wisely. Bible says he kept doing it continually. My children might have seen. Let me offer something before God destroys us. Brother Hagin said, what he said came to pass. Words are too powerful. When Adam fell, the first thing God asked is, who told you? Who told you? What created everything? What created everything? Who told you that you are naked? Who told you? Sometimes, you know, people experience different times, down times in life, and then they're looking at everything. What I was praying for. This is not what's happening. I think I had to caution some people. They say, Pastor, I actually used the word of faith. I prayed, and nothing happened. I said, shut up. Don't say nothing happened. That itself is faithlessness. Why did you conclude and say nothing happened? Why that conclusion? I have never said, I have prayed and nothing happened. No. It will not happen. Why would I say, I have prayed and nothing happened? I cannot say that. No. I have prayed and I'm trusting God. That this is going to happen. Because your words are too important. Who has said the thing when the Lord has not said it? Your words are too vital. Your words are too important. Job kept saying the wrong things. He said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now I see the kind of God you are. I repent. Hands up, you caught me. I know I said some nonsense. And I tell you, that's one of the nonsense. God has never given the life of any believer to the hands of the devil. It has never happened before. It will not happen again. God does not tempt that way. He does not tempt at all. James already tells you, God does not tempt. Circle it around. Take it anywhere you want to take it. God does not do what you cannot do to him. He does not have the ability to put sickness in your body and say, maybe you will learn humility. I remember one story, one man said, God put this sickness in my body so that I can learn humility. I was proud. So why are you in a healing meeting? You should be asking God for more humility. Amen. Maybe from stage 2 to stage 4. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll be more humble when the cancer grows. No. But you're in a healing meeting trying to take away God's humility. Nah. God does not put cancer so that you can be humble. Nah. He gives you his word. That's enough for you to be humble. Amen. Amen. He gives you his church to teach you what ought to be a good character, good practice of the faith. God does not put sickness. He does not put valleys all around your life. He does not put down times and depression on your way so that he can prove that he's God. What kind of God proves that he's God? It's not what's heaven. But we have another God. And we see our God clearly. He's a good, good father. He's a good father. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you've been like that, when your sons ask for fish, you don't give them scorpions. When they ask for bread, you don't give them stones. He said, imagine God. Imagine God.
imagine God. He calls him the Father of light. He says there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Meaning, there's no time you find God doing like this. Again? Again? No. If he says yes, then it's yes. If he's good, then it's good. There's no time he's good, then, but he's trying to test us. No. God doesn't test you. Remove that from your head totally. Don't be a Job disciple. Be a Jesus disciple. No man has sinned. Not this man, not his father. That is born blind. But the work of God will be made manifest. You will see again. Amen. Amen. So funny thing that we Christians say, everything happens for a reason. God knows about it. No, sometimes God does not know about it. You have to take it to him. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. How about that? Known to God. Meaning that God does not know it. God does not know it. He's making you anxious. He's making you troubled. He's putting you in distress. But God does not know about it. You are the one that will take it to God and say, you know what? I'm going through this. This is actually what I'm facing right now. And I need a way out. I might not have all the answers, but I know you do. I might not know all the words, but I know you do. Sometimes you just keep quiet and then you just speak in tongues. Sometimes you are crying. And then you are making the Father know everything you're going through. Hallelujah. It says you make your request known to God. How about that? Meaning you don't know about it. Hallelujah. Not everything you're going through, God knows about it. Yeah, I don't know how to talk. You have your mouth not just to eat. You have it to pray. You have your mouth not just to cry. Cry. No, don't cry. Wipe those tears and get up. And say, this is the last time I will cry about it. I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to get the solution. In the name of Jesus, the glory of God is working in my life. In the name of Jesus, I'm not depressed. I'm not anxious. The power of God is working through and through. The Holy Ghost is coming through for me. He puts me at an advantage. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm strengthened as the day goes by. In the name of Jesus, my health is responding to God's power. In the name of Jesus, every part of my body is functioning fine. In the name of Jesus, I'm not a victim of circumstances. In the name of Jesus, I win every time. In the name of Jesus, I win every time. In the name of Jesus, I don't give up and I don't quit. In the name of Jesus, I don't give up and I don't quit. In the name of Jesus, my head is always high. In the name of Jesus, I walk like a winner. I talk like a winner. I breathe like a winner. I act like a winner. I do like a winner. I win. I win like a winner. I win like a winner. I win like a winner. In the name of Jesus. I don't allow strange voices. In the name of Jesus. You know, you hear people say, you know, no, things are just falling apart. No, in the name of Jesus, things are falling in place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm not a victim. In the name of Jesus, every part of me responds to the word of God. In the name of Jesus, you know, every part of me, my ministry responds, my emotions respond to the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, pray for yourself tonight.